on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, December 16th, 2024 edition. We are less than 10 days away from Christmas, and soon the new year will be here. And with that said, it's a time of change. It's a time to close this year. You know, we only have a handful of trading days left in the year. And this brings me to a message we recently received. And as you all know, the InvestTalk family lost Steve Peasley this past summer. And last week we learned that we had a donation in Steve's name, to Operation Hope. And Operation Hope states a mission to advance economic opportunity by providing the tools needed to reach financial goals, to help individuals with their financial literacy. And we all know Steve was a big advocate for that. And that's why we do the show, not just talking about investments, but just having a firmer grasp broadly on financial concepts so that people can keep themselves out of trouble and make good decisions with their money, not just on the investment side, but from a personal finance perspective as well. And Operation Hope certainly helps that. And the message with the donation said, "Justin, I've listened to your Invest Talk podcast for 6 or 7+ years now. I always enjoyed listening to Steve, and even though I have never met either one of you, I was saddened by Steve's situation and his passing away. He seemed like a really great guy. I wish you much success as you carry on your grandfather's and Steve's legacy. Thanks for setting up this opportunity to donate in Steve's name." And it was signed Derek. Well, thank you, Derek, for that donation. And I wanted to read that because it certainly reminds us of all that Steve brought to InvestTalk and our community here. And we appreciate all of those donations, both Derek recently and those that donated around the time of his passing. Now back to our job today. The markets are constantly moving as we head into next year. You're seeing the broader indices not having major moves, but some big moves in both directions in certain sectors and in individual companies. So there's a lot to focus on. And to accomplish our goal, each and every day, we bring you actionable material and data that will help you become a better investor, making smart decisions with your money week after week, month after month, year after year. So your comments are always important to our Invest Talk mission and our community. So we encourage you to give us a call and ask us your questions at 888-99-CHART. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll hit on their first caller question now.
Hello, guys. I would like to ask you about Target, TGT. Is it now a good time to buy? That's it. Thank you.
All right. Target had some recent earnings, and it was not that good. Fell from about $156 per share down to a low recently, around 121. It's bounced back to about 132, but certainly is in a downtrend from its high back in the end of March, around $180 per share. So that's because earnings are falling once again. It peaked out in earnings of $13.56 in 2022. Now that's when everyone was buying physical goods, and really there wasn't much money in people's pockets to go spend on services, which is the majority of the market, right? And so many people were using that extra cash to buy physical goods. So that was kind of an anomaly there. You kind of want to throw 2022 numbers out completely. But they made $6 per share in 2023. That was down from the $6.39 they made in 2020, but still above the 2019 level pre-pandemic, around $5.39. Now, this year, they're supposed to earn $8.59 in total once the fourth quarter is announced, and then $9.22 next year. The problem is that analysts are downgrading those earnings expectations as well. So the good thing, I think, is if you're looking at forward-looking earnings, let's say they make $9, it's the $132 stock. It's not bad. That's a mid-teens multiple, 14, 15 times. And the five-year P/E range for Target is between 12 and 28. So it's on the low end of that range. That's the positive here, because I do think that Target is fairly well run. Now, this was in contrast, their poor earnings were in contrast to Walmart's. Walmart's were very good, and Target was the opposite. So clearly they're having some near-term issues, but still good cash flow, still very solid balance sheet, good profitability, return equity around 32%. And so I like what you're looking at. I just don't think it's quite at a buy point yet. I love that this is on your watch list, but the technicals are too poor. This looks like it wants to head closer to last summer's lows, which was right around $100 per share, 100 to 110 in that range. And I think that's an area that I would say this is very cheap, and I'd probably want to pick it up. So you're getting there. You know, you're getting there. It was at 180. Now we're at 132, much closer to that 100, 110 level than it was before. But the technicals need to firm up a little bit for me to throw a lot of capital at it. But I think we're very close to levels that I would pick up at Target. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes. Our main focus point is about the delicate balance of U.S. stocks compared to the rest of the world in 2025. And strategists are anticipating a potential challenging year for U.S. stocks due to elevated market valuations and the fact that we've had two straight years of 20 plus percent market returns, which is pretty rare. So we'll dig into how much of a weighting the broad U.S. All World Index is of U.S. stocks and where it was just a short time ago. So we'll look at that and what that might tell us about future returns for U.S. equities versus the rest of the world. Now, we have other topics on the docket as well that we want to get to. One is my alma mater, Chapman University. It's here in Orange County, private university here in Orange County. And every year, actually every 6 months, they put out an economic forecast. They do an update mid-year. But this is kind of their main one in early September, early December, and it's for the following year. Now, sure, I'm a little bit biased. I took econometrics at Chapman as well as it's my alma mater. But you know, if you look at the rankings, they're number one in a blue chip survey of major universities and their economic projections for real GDP projections going forward. They're number two for unemployment rates and housing starts. So, you know, this is a report that is one of the best in the nation. So we'll look at their expectations for the economy next year. Also, the Trump tariffs. And a lot of people are optimistic about the tariffs and what they could mean for rebalancing the global economy and bringing trade home. But with any change, there's probably going to be pain in parts of the economy. So we'll look at that topic and see what we could glean from what has been said by some of the cabinet members so far. So that's on the docket for me today. And most importantly, it's about what is on your mind. However, we have voice bank calls. One is on Bath & Body Works and the other is on Schlumberger. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment question right now. We're going into a short break, and on the other side, I'll touch briefly on today's market activity and then play more of your questions here on Invest Talk. My phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, got to get serious with my finances. I've been working a long time, and I know there's still got to be more that I can do to build my wealth quicker. I don't want to have to work forever.
If you are not maximizing your employer-sponsored retirement plan, KPP Financial can help. With our professional oversight, you can potentially enhance your investment performance by an average of 3% annually. At KPP Financial, we provide a comprehensive 401k management program designed to optimize your retirement savings. Our approach includes creating custom investment allocations tailored to your goals and risk tolerance. That can make a big difference in your favor.
Maybe it's time to tune up my retirement plan.
For more information on how you can take control of your retirement savings, visit our website, kppfinancial.com.
KPP Financial. Sounds good.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's take a quick look at the markets today. You had the NASDAQ up over 1%. The Dow was actually down 110 points, about a quarter percent there. The S&P, about in the middle, up 38 basis points, up 23 points in total. And the top gainers, once again, Broadcom up 10.5%, the biggest contributor to the gains in the S&P. Tesla up about 6%, also a big contributor. Amazon up 2.4%, Apple up 1%. Those are the big contributors overall. Google up 3.6%. So the Mag 7 continues to be on fire, but the rest of the market is certainly suffering. Palo Alto Networks, that was a big one today. So that was a big loser. Let me pull this up here. That can't be right. My system saying it was down 48%, but another one is saying that is not true. So let's throw that one out there. MSCI though was down 8%, and that was really the big drop on the day. So what else did we get to? Nvidia was down 1.6%, and really it was kind of a mixed market overall. You had oil, energy names down, utilities down, industrials down. So the value side of the market certainly is struggling as of late, and not a shock as we go into year end. You know, those bigger names, people don't want to take gains on until the beginning of the year. And so they tend to still get buyers as money flows into the major indices, but not a lot of sellers as people don't want to take profits. So that was kind of the market today. We have the Fed meeting coming up on Wednesday, and that will certainly be the next major market mover. So we'll see how that evolves with that that analysis. They will cut 25 basis points. We know that is the story. Don't think that's the story. I don't think that's what the market's going to react to. It does not matter that they cut a quarter percent or 25 basis points on Wednesday. It's going to be what they say about policy for next year. This is the final meeting of this year. And it's what about next year? Are the dot plot's going to say, you know, 1, 2, 3 rate cuts next year, maybe no rate cuts. What does that really look like? And that will certainly that will push a direction on the dollar as well as interest rates. And so that's what we'll be waiting for on Wednesday. Now, from time to time, we get questions submitted via our YouTube channel in the comments section. So let's go grab one of those questions now. Iraq Don 1964 says, hello, noticing Lincoln Electric, LECO is a symbol, is looking weaker, but this traditionally a strong company with a long operating history. Is it cheap enough to pick up some? Thanks always, Pakistan Don. Signed, Pakistan Don. Well, Pakistan Don, let's take a look at Lincoln Electric. Yeah, it did peak out around $260 per share back in the spring. And now, but it bottom recently around 170. Now we're at about 202 at the close today. And so it's certainly in a downtrend. If you look at, let's go look at some of the earnings projections. Earnings supposed to be down 7% this year, but back up 6% next year to $9.26. Last year, an all-time high in earnings of $9.41. And you are correct. This tends to be a very strong performer. Let me pull up some other data here. And for everyone else out there, it's an industrial name and leading manufacturer of welding, cutting, and brazing products. And so you're talking about the welding industry that certainly is never going away, right? Return on equity on 37%, very strong balance sheet, minimal debt on its balance sheet, solid dividend of 1.4%. But it's trading at an enterprise value of around 16.5. And if I look historically, that's it's not cheap, right? That's not a cheap level. It typically gets cheap around 13 or 14. So I would want to buy. I think this is probably headed back down into the 170 range, and that's where I'd pick up Lincoln Electric. Thanks for the call. Now we're moving into a break, still to come. My focus point and more answers to your questions. And of course, you can call me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now. 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point today is about the U.S. market and how it's become the juggernaut in world asset prices. And so far this year, the world has avoided a hard landing, and U.S. equities are on track to gain more than 20% for the second consecutive year. But there's a lot of uncertainty as we head into next year with a new Trump administration and lingering inflation concerns. And with the dominance of the U.S. markets, it's becoming a bigger risk to global economies. So far, the United States makes up 67% of the MSCI All Country World Index, which tracks 2,650 listed companies in developed and developing markets around the world, has a combined market cap of $80 trillion. 67%. Now, the second largest in this All Country World Index is Japan at 5%. Okay. Now, just a decade ago, the U.S. was about 50% of the MSCI index. So in a decade, it's gone from half of this index to two-thirds. And in many ways, just as the Mag 7 is a dominant force in the S&P, the bigger they are, it becomes a self-fulfilling, self-reinforcing mechanism. Because as more money flows into these indices, more money tends to flow to those bigger names because it's market cap weighted. And so this is a big reason that indexing has caused a lot of distortions in markets, massive distortions in markets. So as long as asset prices are going up, I think that distortion continues. You go into some sort of a bear market, just like look at 2022 is a good example, right? The S&P was down 22%. But the NASDAQ, heavily weighted towards those Mag 7, even more than the S&P, that was down 33%. So it's magnifying returns in both directions, which means much higher risk in those bigger names. And you can shrink that down or blow it up, however you want to look at it, into these broader asset classes, like equities more broadly. Now, typically, if you're a professional asset manager like us, you're saying diversity is better. But so far, over the short period of time that indexing has become all the rage, the U.S. markets have been dominating. Now, strategists can see a continuation of positive returns next year. They see the S&P ending up between 7 and 15% on average. And UBS points out that when the Federal Reserve cuts rates outside a recession, like they are doing now, U.S. equities on average gain 18% in the following 12 months. Now, we're already up a decent amount since the first rate cuts. So, you know, you're talking about maybe another 10% return or so between now and next late summer, early fall. But the point here is that this is it's rare to see this type of returns continue. Over the past decade, the S&P 500 has produced a compound annual return of 13%. While Japan only 6.1, Europe's 5.3, and emerging markets 3.4. And right now, the very largest U.S. companies make up 35% of the S&P 500. It hasn't been that high since the Nifty 50 of the 1970s. And if you look at the broad global index, the Mag 7 makes up a fifth, 20% of global market cap. Talking about NVIDIA, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, Tesla, and Google. Now, the S&P World ex-US is trading about 18 times historic earnings. The S&P 500, about 28 times. That is a very wide premium. Now, the S&P 500 has only gained more than 20% in three consecutive years once. That was in the late 1990s, leading up to the dot-com bust. Now, does that mean you have to have a dot-com bust? No, but it just shows you that these things tend to move big in both directions. And when the tide turns, especially those Mag 7 names, you're going to get a big drawdown, which will have a the higher of a weight those Mag 7 names are in particular indices, the bigger drawdown those indices are likely to have, just like in 2022. So investors around the world are more exposed than ever to the largest companies in the world, not just the S&P, but that broad the broad world index as well. So that's something to keep an eye on for next year, and why, you know, when the market turns, those foreign stocks, value stocks, smaller cap names are certainly going to start to outperform. Now, you started to see that in the summer of this year. That's reversing a bit now, but I certainly think that could be a theme for 2025. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this headline. Protect yourself from identity theft. With identity theft on the rise, it's crucial to take proactive steps to safeguard personal information. That story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Let's face it, InvestTalk listeners, life can be unpredictable, but securing your family's financial future doesn't have to be. That's where Fabric by Gerber Life comes in. Fabric offers modern, flexible term life insurance designed to fit your lifestyle. Whether you're planning for the future or just want a little extra peace of mind, Fabric makes protecting what matters most simple and stress-free. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right from your couch, all online and on your schedule. You could be covered in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. If you got kids, and especially if you're young and healthy, the time to lock in low rates is now. Even if you have life insurance through your employer, it may not offer enough protection for your family, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. Fabric has flexible, high-quality policies that fit your family and your budget. Like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. There's no risk, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/investtalk. That's meetfabric.com/investtalk. meetfabric.com/investtalk. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2,
ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
The numbers are in. InvestTalk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Brett from New Jersey. Thanks for all that you do. I'm calling in about Schlumberger, ticker symbol SLB. I am interested in buying it, and this morning it's sitting right around the $40 level, and I just wanted to know if you guys think this is a good buy, or if I should wait a little longer, be looking for a different price target. Again, thanks for all that you do. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, looking at Schlumberger, SLB is a symbol, one of the largest oil service companies in the world, $56 billion market cap. And this is a sector that had a nice little bump since in the initial Trump election win. But since it's faded pretty hard, and relative strength here in Schlumberger is 19, very low. Now, this is one of the better ones within the industry, but the trends within the industry have been pretty poor. Like I said, the other companies within the energy space, the normal E&Ps, like Exxons and Chevrons of the world, they've actually started to outperform since the election, even though the oil service names got that initial better bump. And so, you know, I don't like the trends here of really underperforming the broader energy sector as well as the market. They have a good balance sheet. They have good profitability, but I'm just not picking it up right now. This is, once again, this is a name we used to own, but it's not something we've owned for a while. So I'm passing on Schlumberger. Let's keep things moving and play two in a row from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. This is Kyle Woodyard from Michigan, and I was calling to ask about Bath & Body Works, BBWI. It had took a tumble recently, but now it's been showing strength lately, making higher highs and higher lows, and I just wanted to know if this was a good time to get into it and buy it, and if not, what price will be a good price. All right. Thank you, guys. I'll be listening on the show. Bye.
All right, looking at Bath & Body Works, $8.4 billion market cap, 2% dividend yield here. And they operate 1,850 specialty stores in the United States and Canada and 485 franchise locations worldwide. So this is a name that we've been watching for some time. Now, it's been a bit choppy. If you go zoom out to a weekly chart, it peaked out in 2021 around $80 per share. Hit a low recently around 27. Now we're up to about 38. So, you know, I'm a fan of the business overall. It's a very simple business. They make lotions and candles and all the things that you know, mainly women love. That's most of their target audience, and it has it's good profitability, right? Of selling candles and selling lotions. Is a great business. Operating margins around 17%, return on invested capital around 36%. They do have a decent amount of debt on their balance sheet, about a $4 billion in net debt on an $8 billion market cap. That's a bit high, but a free cash flow around $600 million, and I like that. I like the free cash flow. Now, it had a big bump during COVID. Once again, people buying physical goods. And their free cash flow has returned kind of into the $600 to $700 million as it was pre-COVID. But the debt is a bit elevated, and that worries me. But earnings expectations for this year and next year are moving higher. Earnings are expected to be flat full year this year, but up 11% next year. Once again, those analysts are bringing those estimates up. And I do like the consumer discretionary space because, as I've said many times before, the consumer balance sheet is very strong historically, with a ton of equity in people's homes, and people paid down credit cards and all types of debts during the pandemic when the government was handing out checks, et cetera. And it just remains a good place to be in the consumer discretionary world. So not a high-flying stock or anything like that, but a nice little boost recently. And frankly, I would own it, mainly because of that profitability and good cash flow. So I'm going to give Bath & Body Works a thumbs up. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on my alma mater, Chapman University. It's here in Southern California, in Orange County. And they always come out with an economic forecast, like I said, in December. And they do an update, usually June timeframe for the full year. And this was their 47th annual economic forecast and delivered by President Emeritus Jim Doty. He's really the mastermind around bringing Chapman up to prominence over the last 30 plus years or so, and up the rankings. And he's the one that delivers these remarks. And what they looked at for 2025 is that inflation is expected to reaccelerate. They think inflation has bottomed. Right now, it's around 2.5%. They do expect it to head up to around 3% by the end of next year, but with steady economic growth, no recession in sight. And like I said at the top of the show, they're number one among blue chip survey participants for real GDP projections. So they're very, very accurate with these numbers. They do expect a slight decline in median Orange County home prices. Here, they always talk about Orange County in California because they're in Orange County in California. Mainly, they talk about that because California ranks last in the nation when it comes to affordability. Median family incomes are now only 50% of what is needed to purchase a median-priced home here in California. So they do think that California home prices are going to stagnate overall. They expect only a 75 basis point drop in the Fed funds rate between now and the end of next year. That includes this 25 basis points we are going to get day after tomorrow. And what else did they get into? They expect real GDP to slow, however, still growth, but to slow to 1.8% next year, down from 2.7% this year. And they, despite the tighter monetary policy with it, which they see is continue to feed into the economic activity through the first half of next year, and then the economy to reaccelerate as this easing policy is felt a little bit deeper into 2025. But they see deficit spending continue to bolster overall economic growth and mitigate the risk of a recession. So very interesting to see what they have to say. You can head over. They have this presentation over on their YouTube channel. So if you want to watch it, I always catch it after that. I used to go to the live ones, but just too busy for that these days. But I always check. I always watch the replay video on their YouTube channel, and I usually do it by double speed, so I get through it pretty quick. So you might want to head over there and check that out. Now let's pivot over to a question that came into our InvestTalk YouTube channel. Shin Nan says, "Hi Justin, love your show. What do you think of JRS? It is a REIT. I own it." Okay, so this is interesting because it is not a REIT. This is a closed-end fund. This is a closed-end fund. Now, they do, it looks like, let me pull this up. This is the Neuven Real Estate Income Fund, okay? Now, if you look at their portfolio, pull up their portfolio. By the way, if you head over to our YouTube channel, you'll see I'm pulling up this data on the screen so you'll be able to see it. They own REITs, okay? So this is a REIT fund, and it is a levered REIT fund, if I'm looking correctly. Yeah, total leverage about 29%. So you might see a distribution of about 7.5%, and you're going to say, well, that sounds like a high yield. But with that leverage comes a lot of volatility. Okay. So that would be my big gripe here. And the total expense ratios The ratio is 3.6%. 3.6%. That's a little bit too high for my blood, right? So I would not want to take the extra risk here. If you want to own a REIT fund, go buy an ETF, an exchange-traded fund that owns a bunch of REITs. I'll just pull up one. Not saying you want to buy this one, but the one of the biggest ones out there is IYR, the iShares US REIT Real Estate ETF. The yield is only 2.6%. The expense ratio is 39 basis points, so a lot cheaper, but it's going to have a lot less volatility. Okay. So that's the way I would look at it. I think that you are trying to chase yield here. I think that you are taking on a ton of risk, and the risk can work out well. For example, this year and even last year when things were good for the REIT sector, this outperformed. It actually was the best performing REIT fund in 2013. And it's in the 17th percentile this year. But in 2022, it was down 35%. And at a time when long duration assets are a lot riskier than they used to be, and REITs are long duration assets, this is not what you want to do. You don't want to take that extra risk with that leverage. Thanks for the call. Let's keep things moving and play another question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Andrew from Atlanta. I was calling about ticker symbol TER. That's Teradyne Incorporated. I've had it for a little bit and was curious what your analysis is looking forward with this company. I did see in some other reports that they're saying to avoid it, you know, so not so glowing, but it was curious, your opinion. Big fan of the show. Thanks.
All right, looking at Teradyne, $21 billion market cap, so kind of in the mid-cap space. Manufactures integrated circuit test systems for the automotive, communications, consumer, and computer gaming markets. And typically, I like this type of business. They test the end product. Little debt in its balance sheet, actually no debt in its balance sheet. Free cash flow of $453 million. I like that. On a $21 billion market cap, that's about a 5% free cash flow yield. Pretty good. Return equity, 19%, 19.5%. That's very good. Lower than long-term average, around 32. So could be under-earning. I like stocks that are under-earning against its long-term average. Now, it is on the more expensive side. Enterprise value to EBITDA is around 27. It historically, over the last 10 years, hasn't been cheap until you get into the low teens. So that tells me it is a bit expensive. But the technicals are, they're not bad. You know, broke to the upside today, up about 5%. And it's been in a range over the past few years, really since mid-2020. But it's in an uptrend overall. And I like the profitability. I like the balance sheet. What are they doing with that cash flow? I'm assuming they're buying back shares. Oh, they were buying back shares and they issued more shares. Now they're buying back shares again. So kind of a mixed bag there. I would say it's a bit expensive, but I like the business. So I'm a little torn here. It's pretty good. I love the business. I just don't love that valuation. So if you hold it, I would probably continue to own it just because it's in it's still an uptrend. Okay. Now, 2024 is almost in the rearview mirror, and we will soon be into 2025. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for this new market environment that a new presidency is likely to bring on? You really think that a market or an economy run by the Biden administration is going to be very similar to the Trump administration? Probably not. Probably not. It's going to be very different. Even if you look at the first Trump presidency, it's likely to be different than that just by looking at his cabinet members. So the big question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? And if you need help with your portfolio and your strategy, I encourage you to head over to our website at investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button on the top right-hand part of the screen and fill that out. And we will set up a call with you via Zoom, and then we will jump on. We can talk face-to-face. I can share my screen, go over your portfolio, how you're allocated, and whether that makes sense for your risk tolerance level, your goals, and the current market environment. So once again, head over to investtalk.com. There comes another question now.
Hi, this is Mario from Kansas. I want to have your opinion on buying these stocks, VICI. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Looking at VICI. Now, this is a REIT that we tend to like. It's a REIT that focuses on gaming, hospitality, and entertainment. They own some golf courses. And it's historically very well run, $32 billion market cap here. And they have pretty solid cash flow. The dividend yield is about 5.5%, $2.3 billion in free cash flow. And I think there's more room for that dividend to go up because their payout ratio is only 61%, cash dividend payout ratio is only 75%. And they continue to raise that dividend over time. Our funds from operation are expected to go up 5% this year, 3% next year. So not a fast grower, but most REITs are not fast growers. It is pulling back as it is a bond proxy and bond prices are going down as interest rates are rising due to inflation numbers over the past week or so looking a bit hotter than expected. And so I would like to own this at some point. It is getting into some pretty good support. Let me pull up some. Yeah, there is some major support here around $30, $30.50, that $30.93 now. So we're approaching that. The big support, though, is around $29.50. And that's where I'd want to pick up VICI, VICI. Thanks for the call. Now, this is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and this will help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So don't hesitate to give us a call right now at 888-99-CHART.
No two portfolios are alike, and every investor has a unique set of circumstances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, let's touch on this new administration and the expectations for trade policy. And some people are optimistic about how these trade negotiations are going to go. The optimists say that this is simply an opening offer in negotiation that will lead to mutual tariff reductions. And if that's the case, that certainly would be positive. It would free up global economic trade, especially, you know, probably we are being in some ways mistreated and unfairly with trade policies around the world that are protectionist over there and not here. But then there's the Treasury Secretary to be, Scott Bessent. And he had an interview with the Financial Times. And he described his strength as, quote, understanding how complex systems either accelerate or break down. He said, we are in the midst of reordering on international trade and relationships. Now think about that, a reordering of international trade and relationships. Now, what does that mean? Well, it can mean a lot of things. And that's one big question is, you know, there's the uncertainty of that. If it heads in that direction, does that cause problems in markets? And what does that ultimately look like in the end? And what impact will it have on, most importantly, asset prices for the investor, but more importantly for the average U.S. citizen is, what about the real economy? Now, Trump's first term, You know, there was a lot of talk, a lot of tariffs implemented. But if you look at our current account deficit, didn't really move. So there really wasn't a true reordering of the system. But this new administration looks ready to change characters a bit. And there is likely to be a few phases to this. Right now we're in the honeymoon phase, where there's not a lot of clarity of what this means. But the hope is that it just is our favor, and that's it. The problem is that the second phase is more likely to get messier, which is implementation of it, means the dollar rises and global financial conditions tighten. And that will ultimately mean there is a pivot that will ease the pain. Tax cuts can only do so much. Lowering interest rates can only do so much. When there is economic pain, all sides will likely come to the table. Now, if there is a true reordering, once that happens, that would be good for the real economy. But it could mean bad things for Wall Street. Why is that? Because right now, when you have a trade deficit, you have dollars flowing out into the world. And what are they doing with that money? With those dollars, they're reinvesting it in U.S. assets. Because we have the deepest, most liquid assets in the world, from treasuries to equities. And this drives prices higher. So naturally, if the opposite occurs, meaning our deficit shrinks, more money stays internal, what are they doing with that money? They're likely reinvesting it in the real economy, in real assets, and real assets are likely to head higher compared to paper assets, like equities. And then the next question was, how will Trump react to that? Will he be okay with Wall Street suffering in the midst of the real economy doing okay? That'll be a big question. Will he go full populist, or will he return to his roots as being business friendly? And I think that's the most up in the air question for the new administration. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And if you need help understanding your portfolio dynamics and calculating your investor risk number, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com. Click on the portfolio review button. This is a free and confidential service. And if you haven't optimized the potential for your 401k, we can help there as well. Once again, start at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial.